kids for the first time since attacking Israel last month. CBS's Robert Berger.
Egypt has set up a field hospital which could help relieve the terrible conditions at Gaza hospitals, which are overcrowded, ill-equipped, and understaffed.
Donald Trump Jr. is set to take the stand at his father's fraud trial today in New York. Seth Berenzweig is a defense attorney.
They're going to assert that basically the organization treated the assets like a fraudulent balloon where they could inflate or deflate in a manner that would serve their financial purposes.
The Trumps have denied any wrongdoing. A student in New York is also expected in court today. CBS Morning's host Gail King.
A junior at Cornell University is now facing federal charges over a string of online posts threatening deadly violence against Jewish students.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison Monday. It's the third prisoner death in Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy results won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivers the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva today. It's part of the annual Wisconsin Judicial Conference. The veteran conservative justice has clashed with the new liberal majority on the court over several issues. That includes appointing acting state courts director Audrey Skorowski, who's also addressing the conference. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A federal judge has dismissed former Packer quarterback Brett Favre's defamation lawsuit against ESPN host Shannon Sharp. Here's Pete Schwabba.
Sharp is also an NFL veteran. He made comments on FS1's Undisputed in regard to Favre's alleged involvement in a misappropriated welfare funds scandal. Favre brought the suit after Sharp said Favre made $100 million but stole money from people who really needed it. Favre has also sued ESPN's Pat McAfee. The former quarterback continues to deny any wrongdoing. He has not been charged criminally.
Wildwood Park and Zoo in Marshfield begins their winter hours today. They're open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays are 7:30 to 11:30 a.m. The United Way of Southwood in Adams Counties is holding their holiday wreath fundraiser. You have until November 9th to register your wreath. The silent auction will run December 1st through the 5th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba! Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wis Country.
Winona!
Craig Counsell is now a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After 9 years as the Brewers manager, Craig Counsell is now a free agent. His contract with the crew expired yesterday. Reports say he has met with the Cleveland Guardians and now the New York Mets. Counsell earned $3.5 million in Milwaukee last season and is looking to significantly raise the bar on pay for Major League Baseball managers. The Rangers won 11-7 over the Diamondbacks last night in Game 4 of the World Series. Texas jumped out to a 10-0 lead, but the D-backs came back. The Texas Rangers now up 3-1 with Game 5 tonight at 7 o'clock in Phoenix. NFL, the Packers with a surprise move, trading defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Bills in exchange for a third-round pick in the draft. College football, the Badgers play against Indiana Saturday. Luke Fickell for an update on quarterback Tanner Mordecai's fractured hand.
I got no updates for you. You know, it comes down to a lot to what Tanner can do.
That's the Badgers' Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 36. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 23 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
With stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across to Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, the fantastic Mr. Zommers. As a matter of fact, it is Wednesday, November 1st, I'm a day ahead of myself, 2024. Glad to have you along at 106 for hour number two of the big show.
Hump day!
Indeed, it is a Wednesday. You say, "Oh, Todd, what do you mean hour number two?" Yes, we have changed time slots. We are now on noon until two each and every afternoon. We come right after the fine program of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right now, Jane Matinera and Greg Bach doing a great job filling in as guest hosts while Kristen is on maternity leave. Then us from noon until two. And then our friend Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn direct every afternoon from two until four. A great block midday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And speaking of things changing, usually on Wednesdays, Trygve Olson, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us to talk politics, life, Packers, and anything else that's on his mind. But we flipped a little bit today, and he's on hour number two today. Trygve, how the heck are you?
I'm fantastic, Todd. Yes. Although I'm sitting here looking, I'm looking at my reflection thinking, the beard's getting a little gray, Todd, and a little long.
Join the club.
But it is deer hunt. It's almost deer hunt. I think it is deer hunting season.
So. Archery, yeah.
Bow season.
Yeah, bow season right now. Yeah, and then a couple of weeks will be gun deer season already. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yep, true. It's important to have a beard for that. And playoffs.
Do you
there's hockey playoffs?
There's going to be no Packer playoffs this year. Come on. Let's just start right there. Let's forget politics for a second and start with the Packers because I watched both the Wisconsin Badger game and the Packer game this past weekend. And I'll tell you, after watching the Badgers, I see a glimmer of hope because this kid that got the quarterback now, he's going to be there probably for the next 3 to 4 years, and he's really good. And if his receivers would have caught half his passes, Wisconsin could have won that game. Meanwhile, the Packers looked pathetic.
They didn't look good. No. And the worst part for me growing up in Western Wisconsin, right? Like, I have all these friends who are Viking fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I usually use social media when the Packers beat the Vikings to be
snarky,
not the nicest person.
Yeah.
And I have some skills, you know, in snark, because professionally,
right,
just kind of what I sometimes do. And the amount of grief I took coming the other way was pretty.
You brought it upon yourself, though, my friend. You got to be able to take
it's
as
true,
much as
but
you can.
Honestly, in this age of political correctness, here's the thing that always kind of, and I'm being facetious here, always kind of bothers me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am a very proud Norwegian. Yes. My company's name is Viking Strategies. Yes. That's an ode to my heritage, mm-hmm, not my choice in football teams. And when they sit there and they do this, skull, 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 yep, it just, it drives me nuts. It's really they should have to change their name. It's an insult to all Norwegians and people of Scandinavian heritage. It's demeaning.
So is LaFleur going to make it through the season?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Get rid of Matt LaFleur.
I'm just asking.
They're in a rebuild. They have $60 million dollars in dead cap space because of Aaron the Mushroom Man Rodgers. So I'll tell you what. I mean, I forgive Brett Favre for his dalliance with the Vikings. I really do. But Aaron Rodgers, I was just done with that guy.
All right. Well, I just wanted to get your take on it before. As a Packer owner.
They're bad. I'm going with my daughters. I'm taking my daughters to Pittsburgh to see them. And unlike Vegas, I don't think I can pull a U2 or something. We're going to go to Pittsburgh. We're going to freeze. We're going to eat some brats in the parking lot, which will be fun. And then we're going to watch the Packers get throttled. Back to the 80s or 70s.
Let me give you a pro tip, my friend. Wear the same hoodie you have on now, your Wisconsin hoodie. Have your daughter wear her vintage Wisconsin letter jacket, and you might get one of the Watt brothers to come over and get their autograph.
I forgot about T.J. Watt.
And Derek, they're both there.
That's true.
Go for the Badger vibe, the Wisconsin vibe, and play up the Watt brothers.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And remember, I'm still salty. I'm still salty at the Packers because T.J. Watt could have been a Green Bay Packer, and they passed him over in the draft.
Right. Instead, we have Eric Stokes. Like, that worked out well.
All right. Onward and upward to politics here. Maybe downward spiral. I want to start with an old friend of ours. Well, not really. I actually met him once. Mike Huckabee. Who the heck was he with? It was, I think, in 1996 for Bob Dole, and they were making a trip around the country, and I met them in all places, Superior, Wisconsin. Mike Huckabee was campaigning for Bob Dole in Superior, Wisconsin. And at the time, he seemed like a reasonable guy. He's gone off the deep end now. Have you seen this? Mike Huckabee this week came out with a kid's guide to Donald Trump.
A kid's guide to Donald Trump?
I'm not making this up.
If I had to guess... You know, ignoring who wrote it, what a kid's guide to Donald Trump would be, it would be, this is a perfect example of how not to treat women. This right? is not how you should run a business because you'll be broke.
Well, here it is. You got this called the kid's guide. And it says, this is a direct quote. It says, help your kids learn the truth about President Trump and create America and celebrate America with this free patriotic gift bundle. I mean, this is like a thing out of SNL, honest to goodness.
And in time for Christmas, order your Donald Trump kids book now. And if you order today, we'll give you free coloring crayons in red, white, and blue, signed by Mike Huckabee himself.
But
wait, there's more. Order today, and Donald Trump Jr. will send a card via the mail to your child. Or just in time for Christmas Day. Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
This is actually a page out of this guide of Trump being sworn in as president with Abraham Lincoln holding the Holy Bible and George Washington looking on. And it starts out by saying the mainstream media has been no friend to President Trump, and they'll never admit that he did a great job leading our country and making the changes America needs. And it goes on. I mean, is this the most preposterous, weird thing you've ever heard, Trigby?
Okay. No, it isn't. It isn't, Todd, because I'll tell you what. There are lots of things about the Trump era as a conservative and former Republican that make me mad. But what probably irritates me, and part of the reason why I chose to go do the Lincoln Project and I chose to fight, was the fact that I went home knowing in 2016 that they had changed the vendor that basically made a small profit for yard signs to one out of Delaware that no one was quite sure who owned, but it was pretty obvious who owned it. And my buddies and I were sitting around talking, and one of them had forked out $50. $50!
For a yard sign.
For a field sign.
Oh, field sign.
And I thought, that field sign costs $3.
Right.
And they're taking it both ways. They're taking the donation and they're taking the profit, which they're now selling to the RNC at three times the cost of what they did before or some, right, whatever the figure was. It's like they, and I thought, okay, my buddy is a good person who's concerned about America, and he's being completely hoodwinked by these people who don't really care about him. They're like false prophets.
Yeah, it's a complete sham and a complete grift. If you want to ask Trigby a question on politics or Packers or anything else, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Let's go to Jay in London across the pond. Jay, we always appreciate hearing from you. About a minute and a half here. What say you?
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, Jay. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to say I love my brother so much, okay?
Well, we appreciate that.
Hey, your previous segment, the fourth hour, what we were talking about, the University of Wisconsin, I think that's a great important point that you just said. I don't know how come somebody who is, people who belong to minority groups, how come they're not going to stand with the Jewish people in solidarity? What is that all about?
Well, it's probably a pot of coffee or a bottle of wine. But I mean, certainly, you know, Palestinian and Israeli issues have been going on for millennia here, right? And so this is nothing new. There's a lot of religion involved in it. But, you know, for those who weren't listening last hour, we pointed out there was a protest over the weekend in front of or around Hillel House, the Jewish building that has represents over 4,000 Jewish students on campus. And there was a pro-Palestinian rally in front of it, protest. Madison police had to be called, and the campus puts out this kind of namby-pamby statement saying, well, you know, nobody got hurt, basically, was the reaction here. And my question was, if this had been a Ku Klux Klan rally in front of one of the predominantly black fraternity houses on Langdon, on Langdon, I think the response would have been very different.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you bringing it up, and I appreciate your comments, Jay. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
By the way, you and Aaron, you guys said you don't have trick-or-treat yesterday.
Well, I think I still have some. I have some Reese's peanut butter cups and Twix. That's what we had yesterday. But I did not go trick-or-treating.
I was saying to myself, yeah, you know what? Trick-or-treat is going to come for you people in the form of a perfect phone call.
I appreciate it. This is a treat.
There we go.
See, yes. It's a treat to hear from you. We appreciate that, Jay. Thank you so much. Have a great day over in London. Trigby, are your kids still old? Did they trick or treat you?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
They cleaned house.
Did they?
But you know what? When they come home, they get a life lesson. Dad applies a Halloween tax to them. So I get to go through their candy bags first and pull out what Dad wants, because I think that's a good life learning lesson for them.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, they're getting smart now that one's in sixth grade and one's in eighth grade or ninth grade. Dad likes Milk Duds because that's what I pull out. Do you know how many Milk Duds were in? And I mean, they had massive bags of candy. You know how many Milk Duds there were?
10.
One.
One, really?
One. Wow. One small box. So I had to go with Skittles, which I really don't like. And what I will point out about this, and I would say for any of our listeners who are parents, you should apply a Halloween tax.
I like that. 1% of Milk Duds in the bags around Washington, D.C. equal to the polling numbers for Mike Pence. We'll come back and talk about Mike Pence, who is certainly a dud as well. With Trigby Olson, don't go anywhere. Take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
This.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise financial advisors Shannon Moon and Jason Kramer can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Shannon and Jason today at 715-421-2250. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. A proud sponsor of Badger Football.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us. From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Because it Ben Orden. Softly creeping. Ben Orden.
Left its seeds while I was Bueller. Sleeping. And the Bueller.
That was planted. The clerk will now call the names of the members who did not answer the first call of the roll.
Within the sound of silence.
Ben Orden.
Welcome back.
Ben Orden.
A plus, Aaron Sommers. Perhaps the best thing that's ever happened in this segment. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Aaron Sommers, the quintessential professional engineer and producer, along with our friend Trigby Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Boy, you put a request in, Trigby, and it happens.
All I'm going to say is, Ben, if you're listening, that's a radio spot right there.
For those who might not be aware.
Wow, that is good stuff. That right? was awesome.
For those who might not be aware, that was actual audio footage of the United States House of Representatives last week on the vote for Speaker of the House when Mike Johnson was elected. And Congressman Derek Van Orden took on a self-appointed trip to Israel. Not an official trip, not sanctioned by leadership. There are reports that his staff didn't even know, just left and missed not only a vote on the speaker, but also a vote on a resolution supporting Israel. And so anyway, Trigby said, you should put that behind.
How about that guy, though?
Yeah.
We should talk about, not Derek Van Odwin, but we should talk about Mike Johnson.
Right? I've got that down on my sheet.
Here's the thing that listeners should think about. If you have a daughter or a girlfriend, or you are the girlfriend, or you are the daughter.
If you're a woman.
You're the wife.
If you're a woman.
Oh, you're a woman. Or you're a man. What do you think about having a Speaker of the House who seems to be anti-birth control and thinks that actually said at one point, we think it's our place to be in people's bedrooms? Like, think about that the next time you go to a CVS if you're a college student and not about what the stakes are in the next election. Or how about this? You have a family member who's part of the gay community. They're living their life as who they are. This is a guy who literally wants to criminalize them. Like, this guy, like, I don't know. I'm telling you, his Louisiana values, they're not Wisconsin values. They're not American values. Like, people need to understand that this guy is third in line to the president of the United States. He's the most powerful Republican in the country. And he is a radical Christian nationalist.
Explain for folks, Trigby, what we mean when we say Christian nationalist, because I've gone on my way to say this is not your Lutheran church basement crowd that's doing a potluck. No. So explain what Christian nationalist means for people who don't understand or might not know.
It literally is the notion that an evangelical view and policy should be put in place to protect the nation. And that, for example, banning birth control is something that should be done. Banning abortion should be done. No 48-hour contraception gay sex criminalized. Like, literally, we are going, it's so antithetical to what the United States is all about. And what's ironic is, Mike Johnson's probably one of these guys who claims to carry the Constitution around in his pocket. It's literally using the power of the state to impose what their version, it isn't my Lutheran version of Christianity, their version of Christianity on everyone else.
I would call it a bastardized version of Christianity, meaning that they've taken the Bible and selected particularly Old Testament passages to say that this now should be the law of the land, not the religious law of the land, not our church law, but the law of the land. I mean, as in what's legal and not legal constitutionally in the United States of America. And again, just a quick primer trivia for folks out there listening, the founders of this country did not create a singular religion, a national religion, strictly because they wanted the freedom of religion to be able to practice religion or not, quite frankly. And anybody could practice whatever religion they wanted. If they didn't want to, that's fine. They specifically carved out and said, we are not going to have a national religion.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you a story once, Todd, that might be enlightening for listeners. I was at the house. I was with somebody who was running for president. I was at the house of one of the most prominent evangelical organizers in the country. I don't want to say the person's name because, like, people will know who this person is. But I'm at that house. And, you know, like, I grew up going to Ezekiel Lutheran Church. I now go to Faith Lutheran Church, right? Like, my religion, is religion important to me? Yeah, I would say I'm a religious person, but I don't run around and spend a lot of time proselytizing to others. I just live my life, try and live it by those values. But I'm at this guy's house and I'm standing in the food line and they know I'm working with this potential candidate. And this woman comes up to me and she asked me when I had been born again. And I kind of looked at her and I'm like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, well, when were you born again? And I said, well, I mean, I was baptized and confirmed at my church when I was, you know, baby. But I never really have been born again because I didn't think I needed to be. Apparently, that was the wrong answer. And she was incredibly intolerant of me. And I thought, this kind of gets to the heart of it. Here I am, nice Lutheran boy from Wisconsin. And this lady, I'm tolerant that she's got different views, but she was completely intolerant to me because I didn't want to answer her question. And I just thought, it's always perplexed me throughout my life.
Since
it happened.
And I think that's a great story to illustrate, Trigvi, because as someone who grew up in an evangelical Methodist church, that the whole point, if being born again and accepting Christ is a personal thing, but you don't then judge others. In fact, the Bible actually teaches, if you want to get into a Bible lesson for a second, that you show love and compassion, and that you, if you want to evangelize, you should do it in your actions and through love, not beating people over the head and condemning them. That's actually the job of Christ and God. It's completely...
And you know what? I'm going to give an analogy here. For those who are listening who are now married, or for those who are listening who are now parents, if you really think about it, you really didn't understand your parents and what it was like to be in a married relationship until you were married. You didn't understand before you dated somebody what it was like to be in a relationship. You really didn't understand what it was like to be a parent until you actually became a parent. And then you had a whole new set of insights that were informed about your own parents in each case. You can't, like, we have to get to a place in the United States where we stop judging people based on assumptions all the time. You don't know the journey that they've had to walk, and far too many of us are just judge.
Adam Kinzinger called Mike Johnson Jim Jordan in drag. Come back more after Trigvi after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
We're not sure what's better.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether to hear a lawsuit to overturn the state school choice program. WisPolitics reports conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley says the high court should have rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. University of Wisconsin officials say they want elected leaders to stop politicizing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. University system leadership says DEI programming promotes more inclusive communities for all kinds of students. Governor Evers is suing Republican lawmakers after they stalled scheduled pay raises for state university workers. UW System President Jay Rothman says it's time to stop the rancor. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. A man has been charged for the Highway 51 shooting in Marathon County last month. Here's Brittany Merlot.
41-year-old Benny Green is facing 13 charges, including attempted homicide, for the shooting and pursuit that he led police on. On October 6th, Green allegedly fired upon a vehicle traveling north on 51 near Brokaw. This resulted in injuries to two people inside. Police then pursued Green north, where he drove into Lincoln County, before returning again to Wausau, where he was apprehended. Green is currently being held on a $500,000 bond, and a preliminary hearing for the case is on November 6th.
The Wisconsin Rapids VFW Post 2534 is holding a blood drive on November 10th. It will be at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post at 2711 Redden Road from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can make an appointment by calling 877-232-4376 or visit versity.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again!
Craig Council is now a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After 9 years as the Brewers manager, Craig Council is now a free agent. His contract with the crew expired yesterday. Reports say he has met with the Cleveland Guardians and now the New York Mets. Council earned $3.5 million in Milwaukee last season and is looking to significantly raise the bar on pay for Major League Baseball managers. The Rangers won 11-7 over the Diamondbacks last night in Game 4 of the World Series. Texas jumped out to a 10-0 lead, but the D-backs came back. The Texas Rangers now up 3-1 with Game 5 tonight at 7 o'clock in Phoenix. NFL, the Packers with a surprise move, trading defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Bills in exchange for a third-round pick in the draft. College football, the Badgers play against Indiana Saturday. Luke Fickell for an update on quarterback Tanner Mordecai's fractured hand.
I got no updates for you. You know, it comes down to a lot to what Tanner can do.
That's the Badgers' Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 36. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 23 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy. It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on these... Welcome back to the Scott Allball Show. You know who never calls this, Trigby? Our old buddy, Scott Walker. I mean, he was your buddy. I mean, you went to Badger Boy State with him. But we've invited the former governor.
He was running for president of the United States then. Have I told you that?
I've heard that.
Honest to God, come on, Scott, give us a call. I know you've got people listening to the show because they call me up. They do call me up.
Do they really?
Like, ooh, Scott's not happy about what... Yeah.
Well,
come on.
We welcome
debate the, us.
Yeah, we welcome not even debate, just have a discussion. Have a soda pop.
You know,
civilized.
We can talk honestly, Scott, if you don't want to talk politics with us, we can talk about your tweet about why certain bands were in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and others weren't.
Sure. We could do that.
We could talk about your taste in music in the 80s.
The former governor.
I had long hair and was listening to this.
The former governor doesn't want to talk to us, but if you'd like to, we invite your calls and your questions for Trigby Olson. Like me, a former Republican, left the party like me and went on to bigger and better things, unlike me, in politics, and is now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Who is calling us? It's Keith from Middleton. Keith, we appreciate you calling. Hang on the line with us. What say you on this Wednesday?
Good afternoon, guys. So this conversation you're having about religion and politics is something that's right up my alley.
Yeah, Mike Johnson, new Speaker of the House, we're talking about. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. So I was raised in a Lutheran home in Wisconsin. My father was a Lutheran minister. I'll be honest, I've never read the entire Bible, but I can tell you for certain that there are dozens upon dozens of passages that there are dozens upon dozens of passages that say, judge not, lest thee be judged, lest thou be judged, let those without sin cast the first stone, et cetera, et cetera. And yet I can't find a single one in my memory that says, judge everyone else harsher than yourself, which is exactly what they're doing.
Totally agree, Keith. I appreciate you taking the time of calling. As a Lutheran and a pastor's kid, you nailed it. You nailed it. And I mean, what Mike Johnson is spewing forth, I mean, this just doesn't line up with the way I was raised as a Methodist. And Keith, it doesn't sound like the way that you were raised in a Lutheran home, and your dad being a pastor.
Exactly. And, you know, to carry it one step further a little bit here, and this is going to be, I'm going to get into a little bit of the Israel.
Sure.
In the Gaza Strip area, at some point, somebody is going to have to turn the other cheek. We cannot continue to, what's the word, eye for an eye, mm-hmm. and so forth. We can't continue that because all that's happening now is every time we bomb one of those cities in Gaza or Israel and we kill parents and we leave these children between two and 18 years of age live, they are now so angry and so defeated that they've fallen in with the Hamas groups, Hezbollah groups, because they become their family that they lost because of what we did. And every time we do this, we create more and more and more terrorists in the name of their religion versus our religion versus somebody else's religion. Somebody's got to turn the other cheek and say, you know what, enough's enough. Let's help these people rather than bombing them into... So anyway,
well, hey, I really appreciate the comments, Keith. Thank you so much.
Keith's point is so good. And what I would say, hopefully Keith's still listening, I was going to recommend a book, Jesus and John Wayne, which really walks through how we got to this place. I just got done reading it. Somebody had suggested it to me. Todd, you and Aaron would like it too, but it really does walk through it. He touches on a great point, though, Palestine and Israel, right? Like, Israel had to respond. You can't have a terrorist act like that without trying to hold accountable the people in Hamas. But to Keith's point, at some point they have to win hearts and minds, not just slaughter.
Sure. I spoke out last hour on calling for humanitarian relief. I mean, there the border between Egypt and Gaza, apparently there's some people trying are able to cross now. There's humanitarian relief going in. I think that, yes, Israel, and I think for the most part, they've tried their best to be diligent in the response. But as you know, Trigvi, Hamas uses women and children as shields. And we read this clip from the spokesperson of Hamas here right before you came on last hour. This is a direct quote from Ghazi Ahmad, the Hamas spokesperson, who said within the last 40 hours, quote, "We will repeat the October 7th attack time and again until Israel is annihilated. We are the victims. Everything we do is justified," unquote. And yes, I am for a measured response. I am for trying to take, I think Keith's point is spot on. You don't want to create more hatred towards the West or towards Israel. But at some point, Israel has to take out, to put it in an analogy, a decayed tooth. You can't just let it fester and create more problems.
Totally agree. I think the Israeli response has to hopefully fully take into account both strategically the short term of eliminating Hamas's capacity to do what they did, and simultaneously not end up radicalizing far more people. And, you know, it's a little bit like it's different circumstances, right? Because Ukraine didn't attack Russia. But the similarity in that is the Russians are never going to win over the hearts and minds of Ukrainians after what they've done. And Israel has a fine line to walk between taking out Hamas and creating an environment where they're ending up with more people who are sympathetic to Hamas. Because right now, there's a lot of Palestinians, quite frankly, who probably don't like Hamas and what Hamas has wrought on them. And but it's hard for them to be sympathetic to the Israelis when the Israelis are dropping bombs on their kids.
I want to talk about Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, and what he is doing in terms of saying he supports aid to Israel, but kind of putting a poison pill in this and also Ukraine. But I want to go back to the phones. Mark from the SAC has been waiting. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, appreciate you holding on, my friend. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call. But for Mike Johnson, he is ignorant of history or else just being duplicitous, because the Treaty of Tripoli actually comes out and says, you know, John Adams says in that the United States is in no sense a Christian nation, pure and simple. And because that was a treaty approved by Congress, that means that's part of law. So, I mean, it's actually been stated toward the beginning of our republic that we are not a Christian nation. And for him to be coming out and saying this stuff is, if he actually supposedly, you know, that, okay, let's say he's a believer, but then he should not be bearing false witness against what the truth actually is, and that we are not a Christian nation. I mean, the Baptists were one of the groups that was most repressed in the colonial days, and they're one of the ones that were mostly for the separation of church and state, going both ways, that the government, you know, religion shouldn't be affecting the government, and I mean, the church should not have power over the government, and the government should not have power over the church. It's laid out pretty simply in our foundational documents. And for this reinvention of the founding fathers, of what they were, many of them were deists. I mean, Jefferson actually took the Bible and you know, came up with his Jefferson's Bible, where he took all the miracles of Jesus and just had his moral teachings in there. I mean, these guys are just it's evil. I mean, that evil in the name of God. And for Hamas terrorists, they're actually ignoring what I have read about what the prophet said on non-combatants are not supposed to be treated like that. And it actually has in there that you're not supposed to mutilate corpses. You're not supposed to murder women and children. You're supposed to be just going after combatants when you're in a state of war. And just because this is an irregular war, I do not think that it actually, that I'm not a Muslim, but I've read a little bit about it. And they certainly are ignoring, you know, the precepts of Islam when they're doing this kind of thing.
Right. Mark, I really appreciate the call. Mark from the SAC, always welcome, my friend. Trigvi, lots of great points there. One of the things that, as Mark was kind of running through this, get your take on this. One of the things that I remember most after 9/11 was that then President George W. Bush made within the, I think, 24 hours, certainly 48, to come out publicly and say, look, people of the Muslim faith are not our enemy. They're our neighbors. And that the people that did this were a terrorist group, not representative of everyone. And I thought that was just an extraordinary moment, because he could have politicized that and put fuel on the flames, and he didn't. And what we read in the last hour about these protests at UW Madison, again, whether you are pro-Israel or pro-Palestine, people need to realize that anti-Semitism and Islamophobia are both wrong, but show some respect to each other as Americans.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think the other piece about, you know, 9/11, and I think that's a really good perspective from which Americans to think about it and look about it. So a lot of 9/11 is the perspective of where you were. And I had friends who were in the Pentagon. I had a friend who was in the World Trade Center and they had an incredibly terrifying experience. But here's the thing. So your perspective matters a lot when these things happen. I happened to be in Vilnius, Lithuania when it happened, and I got a call from the ambassador that evening of 9/11 saying, you need to come up to the embassy and see what's happening. And I went up there, and there were thousands of Lithuanians lighting candles and flowers, and anyone who said they were an American was getting hugged. And when these kinds of acts happen, it's a small group of people committing acts of tremendous hate, right? Flying airplanes into building or beheading small children and shooting up civilians. But what we also tend to see after, in the aftermath of those acts of hate, is far more acts of love and compassion towards fellow man than the acts of hate that are occurring. But we always kind of give into our human instinct, which is to strike back. And in some cases we should, but we need to do a better job of using the sympathy and the desire of the better elements of mankind. Mm-hmm. Than focusing just on retribution.
About 2 minutes or 3 minutes before the break, I want to get your take on Mike Pence dropping out, and then we'll come back after the break. I want to take up this issue of Tommy Tuberville and the fact that the commandant of the Marine Corps, according to the New York Times, apparently had a heart attack over the weekend from being worked so hard and the atrocities there. But I want to start with Mike Pence politics. Trigvi, the Penster dropped out. I said, a combination with Pence dropping out and Mike Johnson's ascension to the speakership, for me, it truly marked the death of the Republican Party that you and I grew up with, and truly the birth of the MAGA party in America.
Well, I think it's been dead for a long time. I'm not sure that Mike Pence dropping out matters much at all. You know, Mike Pence is basically the guy at the bar, except he probably doesn't go to bars, but he's the guy at the bar sitting there saying, man, I had this boss and he was just trying to kill me. Mike Pence, here's the one thing about Mike Pence. We're going to find out a lot more about Mike Pence, because is Mike Pence now going to be speaking the truth about Donald Trump finally that he's given up this aspiration? I'm not holding my breath, you know. I just think he was irrelevant to what was happening.
But like Scott Walker, he's always wanted to be president, number one. And I guess what I'm...
Well, they're big buddies.
Right. And what I guess what I'm saying is that the last sitting vice president couldn't even make it to the first primary or first caucus and ran out of money because he was hated by his own party for doing at least one good thing, which was his line was, I won't decertify the election. I will at least honor the will of the American people and uphold the election. And for that, he's been rebuked for all time.
For doing his constitutional duty, his job.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, it's hard for me to get a grip around these guys, Scott Walker being one of them, Mike Pence, Marco Rubio, like all these guys on Twitter who are tweeting Bible verses every day. Honestly, like, what is that, Todd?
Well, and again, to me, it's embracing, and I made this point earlier, Mike Pence, agree or disagree, he actually believed and tried to live, I believe, the things he said. Unlike Donald Trump, who is completely, he says it and completely doesn't live it, and yet the party embraces Trump.
Yeah, but Mike Pence embraced Trump too, in a way.
Not like Stormy Daniels. Back after this, don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, Don.
We're all thankful for the many blessings we've received this past year. Relatives and friends from near and far will descend on our homes to eat the biggest meal of the year, watch football, and then eat some more. And what happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. That's why right now is a great time to get your holding tanks and septic systems pumped out for the holiday season ahead. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where our trucks smell like sweet cherry pie because the pumpkin pie is all gone.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Come back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from Matt Flynn Direct, our friend and colleague. Always going to learn something, taking you to the front lines of history being made. Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. Trey V. Olson joins us, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like me, a former Republican, worked for people like John McCain, Mitch McConnell. Mitch making a lot of news this week, incidentally, but we'll get to that in a second. But I want to get to this quickly. This is from Anya, one of our producers, our fine producers down in Waukesha. Speaking of Scott Walker, the former governor, and the fact that Trigvy went to Badger Boy State with Scotty Walker. Turns out Anya says, I went to Badger Girl State and had to deal with Scotty there. He was governor at the time and was forced to shake his hand. Later on, the girl who won our governorship went missing, like full-on Amber Alert, and we begged him to speak publicly about the disappearance because we had a bunch of photos of them together, and he refused to do anything. And obviously does not favor Scott Walker. Apparently the girl was found okay, thank goodness. But she says, but still. A little insightful, Trigvy.
Doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't, having dealt with him when he was governor, doesn't surprise me either. Yeah. I want to get to this, and thanks, Anya, for sharing that the anecdote and that story. It gives good context to what we were talking about. I want to get to this because I know Matt Flynn's been talking about this, and he follows us, Trigvy. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican of Alabama, who lives in Florida and has been blocking single-handedly because of Senate rules. You know these rules much better than I do. And that one senator can hold up nominations. Now, well over 300 nominations. There was a great piece yesterday by CNN. I'm not sure we have time to get into all of it right now. It's about 4 minutes long, and I don't want to take up all that time. But I'm going to give you the highlights of it real quick. That basically, the New York Times is reporting that the commandant of the Marine Corps, who was just confirmed because Tuberville let about three or four of these appointments through, had a heart attack over the weekend. And he had said to someone or in a text or an email, he said, this is unsustainable. Going to bed at 11:30 at night, closing my laptop and opening it up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week, because we don't have the other people appointed or confirmed. I'm having to do triple duty. Then they went to put in the person who's basically the second in line as the acting commandant, but he hadn't been confirmed either because of Tuberville. And so now Tuberville apparently has relented and said that he will allow this one person to come through. But Trigvy, when you look at this, this is one of the most appalling things by anybody who tries to call themselves Republican I've ever seen.
Honestly, I think it's one of the most appalling things that any American has ever done that served in the United States Senate. I mean, it's ridiculous what Tommy Tuberville is doing. But, and you know, Tommy Tuberville is the guy that Donald Trump was trying to call when he inadvertently got a hold of Mike Lee during the whole January 6th stuff. Like, I don't know. Who is Tommy Tuberville helping with this? I bet you if you talk to Tommy Tuberville, he'd go on and on about how China was a real threat and blah, blah, blah. Like, he's literally enabling the Chinese, the Russians, etc. Now, one rumor that's out there is that Tuberville is doing all of this with the hopes that when Trump becomes president, right, like, he'll get to appoint all these people, and he can appoint loyalists. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Tommy Tuberville, if you listen to him talk, like, Auburn wasn't great when he was their coach, and he's not smart enough to live in the state where he represents. I just think he's a disaster. But people in Wisconsin should be outraged by this. One guy from Alabama is holding up everything for, you know.
And of course, I mean, he says the reason is because the military allows, you know, women to go across state lines to get abortions, which they did beforehand, and nobody, none of these appointments have anything to do with that. That's a political decision. And then, of course, the decision by President Biden to put the Space Force in Colorado versus Alabama, his state, again, that is a political decision. None of these people, these confirmations that he's holding up on confirming them, have anything to do with this. Yet they are, Tuberville and the Republicans, and quite frankly, Trigvi, I'm going to call out the Democrats as well, because, correct me if I'm wrong, any member of the world's most exclusive club, the United States Senate, could go on the House floor and suspend the rules, make a motion to suspend the rules, and put these on. Why are they so reticent, all of them, to let down our American military?
Because they love the power of being able to do that. They view that as one of the perks of being a United States senator, but Tuberville is taking advantage of it. But this is the question you have to really start to ask yourself. Like, we should all be asking. And Republicans used to do this to Democrats all the time, but why does MAGA hate the military so much? They clearly, Donald Trump and Tommy Tuberville and all these guys, John McCain wasn't a hero. That literally is what Donald Trump said. People forget that. Tommy Tuberville holding up all these military appointments. Why do MAGA hate the United States military? I'm not going to say Republicans, because it's not true of all Republicans. Certainly Mitch McConnell, if you know, is not one, and there's others who don't. But the reality is the bipartisan delegation, the Republicans who were in Ukraine. But why do MAGA hate the military?
I'm going to bring it back to Derek Van Orden in the 3rd District. Because this guy, of course, wasn't present for the vote for Mike Johnson, but he still said he supported him. Now it looks like Mike Johnson's getting ready to do an Israeli package with a poison pill, because he's putting these tax cuts in there to, quote unquote, pay for it, which you and I both know in Congress is not a thing. And he's also getting rid of the aid to Ukraine. You nailed it. Between Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House and Tommy Tuberville in the Senate, the two biggest winners, Trigvi, yes or no, are Vladimir Putin and the Chinese.
Yeah, Xi and Putin end up winning on this, but it gets back to the whole question. Why does Mike Johnson, you know, aid to Ukraine, aid to the Israelis, better that they're fighting their own battles than us being dragged into them, right? Where American soldiers are dying, the question you have to ask yourself is, why does Mike Johnson, why does Derek Van Orden by extension, and I know I'm going to get grief for this because he likes to wrap himself in his service, why does Tommy Tuberville, why did Donald Trump, why do they hate the American military?
Throw Scott Fitzgerald, a veteran in that as well, from Wisconsin. I mean, all these guys go to the 4th of July parades and literally, in some cases, wrap themselves in the flag. They love to brag about the military. But you know what? I was on one of our military bases in the state earlier this year. And off the record, some of them on the record, they're fed up with it, because it's hurting our Wisconsin military right here in Wisconsin, Trigvi.
Yeah, I mean, this is who they are.
Yeah.
They want to be in your bedroom with Mike Control Your Johnson and Tommy Demean the Military Tuberville.
Trump's Johnson, more on him next week with Trigvi Olson. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned. Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. Keep banging your drum.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. It's time to lock in your tee time at University Ridge Golf Course, proud host site of the American Family Insurance Championship and home to the Wisconsin Badger golf teams. University Ridge is a public course that's yours to play without a costly membership. Visit universityridge.com and reserve your 18-hole tee time up to 90 days in advance. Don't have time for 18 holes? Try our 9-hole putting green or hit balls on our grass tee practice range. Play where the Badgers and the pros play. University Ridge.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Special Report. Another Federal Reserve reprieve. Interest rates remain unchanged today as it continues fighting inflation. Here's CBS's Jason Brooks.
The Fed statement says while inflation has moderated, economic growth was stronger than expected in